Indonesia is seeing its largest protest in 2 decades. It's Friday, September 27th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly in Washington. Join us on VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, abortion is now legal across Australia. Scientists enlist bacteria to help fight the dengue virus. And experts say there is no reason to fear that artificial intelligence will cut jobs. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Indonesia's protests come amid a wave of public anger at a proposed overhaul of the country's criminal code and a controversial move to weaken an anti-corruption body. Jim Stevenson has this report from VOA's William Gallo in Jakarta.
Tens of thousands have protested this month nationwide, including in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta, where police fired tear gas and water cannons to disperse student protesters outside parliament this week. Many are upset at a proposal that would outlaw or strengthen existing restrictions on abortion, sex outside marriage, blasphemy, and insulting the president or other symbols of government. Others are angry at the passage of recent legislation that threatens to diminish the independence and power of the country's respected Corruption Eradication Commission. Separately, at least 30 people were killed this week during an outbreak of anti-government protests in the eastern region of Papua, where there has been a long, low-level insurgency. The developments amount to a major challenge for President Joko Widodo, who is set to begin his second 5-year term in October after easily winning re-election in April. Widodo has long wanted to revise Indonesia's criminal code, which was set up by the country's former Dutch colonial rulers. His past attempts to do so have failed. Most international headlines have focused on aspects of the bill that would outlaw sex outside marriage and how that may impact popular international tourist destinations such as Bali. But the proposal, which contains over 600 articles, could impact a large section of Indonesian society. Human Rights Watch called the draft criminal code disastrous not only for women and religious and gender minorities, but for all Indonesians. Lawmakers this week delayed the proposal after Widodo bowed to public pressure, saying more input was needed. But some fear the bill could be passed by the next session of Parliament. For VOA's William Gallo, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington.
In Hong Kong, Chief Executive Carrie Lam held talks Thursday for the first time with residents in an effort to end 4 months of sometimes violent protests. Lam said she would be ready to receive constructive suggestions about how to heal rifts in the semi-autonomous Chinese territory. But she came under a barrage of criticism, with citizens accusing her government of turning a deaf ear to protests calling for democratic reforms. Speaker after speaker railed against government arrogance, slammed the use of force by police, and questioned Lam's sincerity after she rejected protesters' demands. Lam listened quietly during the more than 2-hour session. She acknowledged the deep distrust of her government and police and vowed to regain public confidence. She also repeated her stance that violence must stop and the rule of law be upheld. The ongoing protests are the biggest challenge to China's rule since Hong Kong's handover from Britain in 1997. We invite you to read more of our top stories by following us on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. China demands U.S. drop latest sanctions over Iran oil. Malaysia joins Pakistan and Turkey to launch anti-Islamophobia TV. How U.S. lawmakers' impeachment inquiry could sorely undermine President Trump's trade agenda. Talks between the U.S. and North Korea are not possible by the end of September. And Marshall Islands shows support for Taiwan after its neighbors favor China. Expanded coverage of these stories are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. a bill to decriminalize abortion in the only Australian state where it has been illegal, was enacted by lawmakers in New South Wales Thursday. Supporters say the historic legislation is a massive step forward for women, but Catholic leaders believe it was a dark day. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Following a marathon debate and weeks of protest, abortion is no longer a crime in Australia's most populous state. The new law allows terminations at up to 22 weeks of pregnancy, or later, if two specialist doctors agree. Critics, including the Catholic Church, believe the legislation is a defeat for humanity, but supporters say that women seeking an abortion will no longer be treated like criminals. The law in New South Wales provoked deep splits within the main political parties that echoed divisions in the community. Penny Sharp, an opposition Labor MP, said the measures would protect women.
None of us are in favour of abortion. It's like saying we're in favour of heart attacks. We just understand that the reality is that it's a medical procedure that needs to be done safely, legally and accessibly.
However, party colleague Greg Donnelly insisted the law was a terrible mistake.
Yes, we must talk about women. But what about the unborn? Who's in the unborn's corner? Who's about to be terminated through an excruciating procedure?
Abortion is now legal in every Australian state and territory, although laws vary. Previously, abortions were possible in New South Wales only if a doctor said there was serious risk to a woman's health. According to government estimates, up to a third of Australian women will choose to terminate a pregnancy, and between 65,000 and 80,000 terminations are carried out across Australia each year.
Phil Mercer has also been following campaigners warning of an epidemic of mental health problems and suicide among Australian farmers. He tells us rates of suicide for male farm workers are far higher than for the general population.
7 days a week, Joe Maghetto is up before dawn on his dairy farm near the town of Warragul, 100 kilometres southeast of Melbourne in southern Australia. He's the son of Italian migrants. He's tough and hard-working, but for years he's battled the demons of mental illness.
I used to carry a bullet around in my pocket, and I remember talking to my brother one day on the road just here. I was bringing the cows home on the road, and I was talking to him, and I was angry at the time, and I kept this bullet in my pocket all the time, and I got the bullet out, and I said to my brother, I showed it to him, and I said, one day I'm going to blow my bloody head off, you know. I was really down in the dumps, and by that afternoon I was milking the cows, and before I knew it there was two policemen at the milking shed, and they pulled me out of the shed and they had a bit of a talk, and before I knew it the guns were seized.
Counselling, support from the community and small doses of medication have helped Joe to fight his mental illness. Campaigners believe much more needs to be done to help those struggling to cope on Australian farms. Suicide rates for male farm workers are reported to be twice those for the general population. Associate Professor Leah Bryant is from the University of South Australia. She believes that capitalism disadvantages those on the land because it takes power away from individual farmers and puts it into the hands of big corporations who control the prices producers receive.
I think it's imperative we turn away from that concept of mental ill health and think about our context of our policies, our state government policies, our federal government policies. We think about how corporate agriculture functions and challenge that. And most importantly, we challenge capitalism and the way it constructs the farmer and takes away, strips the autonomy of the farmer and produces distress.
Researchers also say that unprecedented weather events across Australia have had a clear and devastating impact on the mental health of many people, not just farmers. Droughts, bushfires and floods have caused the loss of homes, land and livelihoods. Australia is the world's driest inhabited continent. Last summer was the hottest ever recorded. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia News, a strong earthquake Thursday killed at least 20 people and damaged a bridge, a hospital, and other buildings on one of Indonesia's less populated islands. The inland earthquake did not have the potential to cause a tsunami, but people along coastal areas ran to higher ground in fear one might occur. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. The United Nations has found that about 90% of all major natural disasters are water-related. Floods, storms, heat waves, and droughts are responsible for tens of thousands of deaths. Now, a landmark report on the impact of climate change on oceans says it's not too late to act on the issue, but the time to do so is now. From Paris, Lisa Bryant has more on the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
The latest IPCC report suggests melting ice sheets will raise sea levels by more than 1 meter by 2100, five times the rate of this century. It also predicts shrinking marine life, drying rivers, more extreme coastal storms, and the chance some island nations will become uninhabitable. The report looks at the impact of human-driven climate change on glaciers, tundra, and on our oceans.
And it documents the ways in which the ocean has been acting like a sponge, absorbing carbon dioxide and heat to regulate the temperature. But it can't keep up.
IPCC Vice Chair Cobarrett spoke alongside fellow scientists at a major meeting in Monaco.
Taken together, these changes show that the world's ocean and cryosphere have been taking the heat for climate change for decades. The consequences for nature and humanity are sweeping and severe.
This is the third major IPCC report in a year on the impact of climate change. Its release comes after millions of people worldwide staged a climate strike last week, demanding urgent action, and after a UN climate summit in New York, which critics claim was more words than deeds. Climatologist Hans Otto Porter, one of the report's authors, says in some cases the damage is irreversible.
Just think about the warm water corals and the coral reefs, which are already in decline and which are surpassing their tolerance threshold with every exposure to a marine heat wave.
But the bigger message is more hopeful. It's still possible to turn things around. French climate scientist Valérie Masson-Delmotte.
There are many regions of the world, cities, countries, where action is being taken. It shows you can build development, improve well-being of people while reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
But the scientists say that to be effective, action must be swift and on a global level, and only if the overall temperature rise stays well below 2 degrees Celsius. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
Now some potentially good news about dengue fever, a painful and often deadly virus that is surging in the Philippines, Bangladesh, and Vietnam. There's no cure for dengue, but scientists are enlisting a bacteria they think will make it harder for mosquitoes to spread the virus. VOA's Jim Randall has our story.
Scientists in Vietnam are infecting mosquitoes with a bacteria that boosts the insect's immune system and uses up nutrients. The bacterial infection makes it harder for the dengue virus or other diseases to get a foothold in the mosquitoes.
Wolbachia is a species of bacteria. When it is introduced to the Aedes aegypti mosquito, it helps the mosquito to fight back the virus that's to cause dengue.
When mosquitoes infected with Wolbachia are released into the wild, they breed with dengue-infected mosquitoes. The result, fewer and fewer of their offspring carry dengue, so fewer people get dengue and other diseases when they get bitten. Experts say, so far, tests in Vietnam and several other nations are promising.
We think that method is very effective, very good, and there's no harm to the people of the commune to when we release mosquito.
Dengue has hit hard in Bangladesh and other nations this year. The symptoms include high fever, vomiting, and joint pain. A miserable experience, say survivors. Scientists blame the surge in cases on rising temperatures, increased international travel, and new strains of dengue hitting populations that have not yet developed immunity. Jim Randall, VOA News.
Coming up, a medieval masterpiece is found hanging outside someone's kitchen, and races using homemade cars are becoming popular all over the world. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news from VOA Asia, Beijing deplored and strongly opposed the passing of the so-called Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act of 2019 by U.S. congressional committees. Chinese government officials urged the United States to stop interference in Hong Kong affairs. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. And VOA Asia continues. Artificial intelligence and automation in workplaces are, on balance, good for businesses. But what impact will artificial intelligence have on workers and the future of their jobs? VOA's Latiska Hoke reports.
Thanks to artificial intelligence, cars are beginning to drive by themselves. Machines can recognize people's faces, and people can ask for information and even talk to a smartphone system such as Apple's Siri that uses a human voice.
Just last week, Siri tried to join into a conversation I was having about interest rates.
Modern machines equipped with artificial intelligence, or AI, are no longer used only for automated tasks in manufacturing, but also for more complex activities such as playing chess, creating military simulations, and they understand human speech. They have been used to create advanced prosthetics for people who have lost their limbs. More sophisticated machines are in the making, said Arthur Lupia of the National Science Foundation.
Today's exoskeletons help human beings transport very large objects and navigate impossible situations. But this project is about tomorrow's exoskeletons. The device that you see here is not just an exoskeleton of the body, it's an exoskeleton of the mind.
Scientists say everyone can benefit from using AI, but the general public has questions, said Congresswoman Haley Stevens.
As AI-powered robots become more common, the question we ask is, how do we ensure worker safety alongside these robots? Will artificial intelligence be routinely used to monitor workers, as some companies do today?
For most workers, the crucial question is, will the intelligent machines take away our jobs? Experts say very few jobs will be fully automated by the new wave of technologies.
While machine learning is now superhuman in many tasks that involve mapping a particular set of inputs into outputs, humans outperform machines in most other cognitive tasks.
But jobs will undergo major transformations, says science professor Erik Brynjolfsson. The challenge is to ensure that no worker is left behind in the process. Experts say well over a half of the children entering elementary school today will end up working in the types of jobs that do not yet exist. They say it is important to reform education, to focus on developing skills that machines cannot match, such as creativity and interpersonal skills. Zlatica Hoek, VOA News, Washington.
This news break from VOA Asia, a handful of young North Korean refugees in South Korea have launched YouTube channels that offer a rare glimpse into the everyday lives of people in North Korea. One has talked about whether North Koreans raise pet dogs and what type of profanity they use. These stories and more on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, a masterpiece attributed to a 13th century Italian painter has been discovered in a French woman's home, and it's expected to sell for millions of euros at an upcoming auction. David Bird tells us more.
The painting, entitled Christ Mocked, depicts Jesus surrounded by hostile crowds prior to his crucifixion. It's painted on a poplar wood panel with a background of gold paint and measures about 24 by 20 centimeters. Art expert Stéphane Pantin of the Turquin Gallery in Paris says the painting offers historians a missing piece in the puzzle that is art history.
This is a major discovery for the history of art. I often say art history is a huge puzzle. It lacks some pieces, and we found a piece with this painting. This piece fits perfectly in the puzzle we're trying to complete. We're talking about the start of Western painting. This painting was painted between 1270 and 1280 when Notre Dame was not even built.
A family in Compiègne, France, owned the painting, which was hanging above a hot plate between the dining room and the kitchen of their home. Stéphane Pantin says that an auctioneer discovered the work while doing an inventory of the house.
This little painting was hanging on the wall that separated the dining room and the kitchen. When Maître Wolfe questioned the owner, he said it was a small icon he'd had for a very long time, and it's not important.
However, once appraisers checked the painting's origin, its worth became clear. Tests using infrared light determined the artwork's provenance. It was from the 13th century and was a genuine Cimabue. The painting goes on sale October 27th, and Stéphane Pantin of the Turquin Gallery says it could sell for as much as 6 million euros.
Alors, aucun tableau de Cimabue n'est jamais passé en vente. Jamais.
No painting of Cimabue was ever for sale. The National Gallery of London in 2000 was scheduled to sell a painting, but it was withdrawn to be the subject of a private transaction. This artist is so important for the history of art, so this is the first time the painting will go to auction. We gave an estimate between 4 and 6 million euros, but who knows what a painting of Cimabue is worth.
Experts think the masterpiece is part of a polyptych that Cimabue painted around the end of the 13th century. Two other panels from the same work are on display at the Frick Collection in New York and the National Gallery in London. In Washington, I'm David Byrd, VOA News.
In an earlier time, people raced boxes on wheels on American streets. Now, an energy drink company sponsors motorless, homemade car races all over the world. VOA's Arash Arabasadi takes us on this bumpy ride through Jordan.
Sometimes modern challenges require modern solutions. In Jordan's capital, Amman, this is not one of those times.
This is something new in the country. It is really an interesting thing, and it drew smiles on our faces.
Soapbox races existed in relative obscurity for decades until energy drink maker Red Bull gave them new life. A combination of speed, style, and originality carries winners across the finish line.
The main challenge is the track itself. People watch as you try to move from start to finish without damaging your car, with maximum speed in the shortest time. It's a bit difficult because we're not very experienced.
Popularized in the 1920s by American kids, soapbox races originally used the wooden crates that carried soap to retail stores. Rules on materials are more lax these days, as apparently are ways to finish.
The race is really wonderful. The first two obstacles were fine, but the third was too high, honestly. The car flipped on the front part because it was so close to the ground, so it hit the ground and flipped.
Nearly 60 drivers threw caution to the wind in the 350-meter race. Red Bull first brought the contest to Jordan in 2015. This year's winners from Mad Men of Chael will have a chance to attend the upcoming Formula One race in Bahrain. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. Thanks for joining us. And thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Sidrak Franklin, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and the VOA Asia team, Jim Stevenson, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and our interns, Hayoung and Afra. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly in Washington. Enjoy.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from